You guys can turn to Revelation 12. Before Nolan preached, I told a few people, I was like, that's going to be tough to follow that guy. And I don't know who it was, but they told me, whatever you do, don't try to imitate his sound effects. All those. And that was before he preached. I was like, thanks for the heads up. Yes, I am not going to imitate Nolan's sound effects. Really thankful for family camp. Again, appreciative for everybody's sacrifices. Before I ever was a part of the Bozeman congregation, I was really thankful for everything the Bozeman congregation did for this family camp. But now that I'm here, I'm really thankful. Bob went down too this last week, and man, so many people chipped in and stepped up, and just really thankful. And thankful for the brethren who, everybody who comes and chips in, the sacrifices you make to make this work. It's awesome. You know, I'm particularly at family camp, I'm mindful of, in reference to Nolan. You know, Nolan's dad died a few years before Nolan was ordained as an evangelist. But Nolan's dad told me, he's like, we got to get this guy. He's like, we got to get this guy, because if we get this guy, he's going to do something. And Nolan, your dad would be very proud of you. So very, very thankful for you, man. All right. Big picture, guys. We've hit it. We've got a lot. That was a lot. Rapid fire. How's you guys' brains? I don't want to tell you to dump it all because you need to keep it. But let's try to do a little reboot here. You know, Revelation is an interesting book. And, I'm not sure that it's the easiest, most simple book of one of the simplest books of the Bible to understand. I don't think I quite buy that one. But, you know, the word itself, apocalypse, it means an unveiling, a revelation. God wants us to understand this book. But it is different from a lot of the rest of the Bible in that this is the artist's rendition. I am an engineer by education. I am wired to be much more logical, lay out the points. Okay? And so I really appreciate the Bible as a general, just generally within the book, God says, come, let us reason together. And so here are the facts. And I really appreciate that about the scriptures. What's it say? What's it say? I can read it, point at somebody and say, what's it say? But the book of Revelation is different than that. The book of Revelation is the artist's rendition. You know, before I dive into that further, I'm mindful of something else. I've seen Tyler Cooper and Matthew Cooper here. I've been so blessed in my life. Guys, the church is amazing. And that the people that you get to know who love the truth. And my best friend, Todd Cooper, met him in college. He also went on to glory a few years ago. And really, Tyler and Matthew, he would also be super proud of you guys being here of your own volition. But Todd spent some time in Oregon when Jerry was there. And I remember Todd telling me about this. He's like, yeah, he really enjoyed your Bible study that he went to. But he said there was one guy that kept asking questions about Revelation. And he said Jerry would say, well, it was something along these lines. You have to crawl before you can walk. And you have to walk before you can run. Well, we'll get there, but we're still walking. He's like, Coop's like, I don't think we ever got there to Revelation. So you do have to crawl before you can walk. You do have to walk before you can run. When people open the book of Revelation without some basic understanding of the rest of the scripture, there's no way you're going to get it. I want you to actually go with me to Revelation 1 really quickly before we jump into chapter 12. I just want to show you one quick thing. We've said it a lot. Nolan made it an excellent, he mentioned it multiple times in his message that it's not literal. There's figurative symbolism within this book. But Revelation chapter 1, in case, I think it's always good to read the first chapter. And in here, there's a lot of points that actually John lays out with the help of the Holy Spirit to help us understand the rest of this book. But I just want you to jump down with me to verse 20, the last verse of Revelation 1. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. My point is, stars aren't stars. Lampstands aren't lampstands. This book, everything is representative. It's the artist's rendition. Like I said, I'm the engineer. That's who I am. That's the way I'm wired. But there is something about the artist's rendition that strikes emotion like nothing else. I'll cry watching a movie. Julie likes to tease me about that a little bit. I cry a lot watching movies. I'm an engineer, but you put me the right movie in front of me, and the emotions come. I've never done a study. I am an engineer, and I do data analysis sometimes. I've never done this. I'm just rattling off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that I've gotten goosebumps more reading the book of Revelation than any other book of the Bible. There is something that stirs the emotions within the pictures. When I was in high school, my least favorite subject was English, because I really did not care for English literature. All the stuff you got to read, and particularly the poetry where you're supposed, what does the author mean when they say blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, this is what I think it means. And nope, you're wrong. Well, how do I know? I'm sitting there thinking, your guess is just as good as mine. Okay? I don't think you're right. I am 52 years old now and not in high school anymore. I figure there might have been, if you knew some other things about the author, if you had read other works of the author, if you knew the author, they might have actually been right that this is what they meant. I just had no clue because I knew nothing about the author and I had no interest in figuring out the backstory. The Bible itself, the book of Revelation, if we're going to understand it, we need to know the author. And so the rest of the scripture, Jerry, you got to crawl before you can walk. And you got to walk before you can run. It is important, brethren, for us to know the plain teachings of fact from the rest of scripture. But that being said, has it been a fun weekend so far? This book, the artist's rendition, is fun. Another thing that's really fun. We are a part of this book. I don't remember the particulars of this, but I remember as a kid, there was a book that was given to me by my parents, and there was this giraffe in there, and the giraffe's name was Equal. I never could quite pronounce it right. E-K-U-L. If your brain hasn't figured that out, that's L-U-K-E, backwards. Okay? The giraffe's name was E-K-U-L. And there was this other character in there, this little guy named Luke. I don't know where they got the book from, but it was made for me, and I was one of the characters in the book, and I really enjoyed that. I'm a part of this book. That's cool. Guys, the book of Revelation is first and foremost about Christ. Amen? But you and I are also in the book. We're a part of it. And that makes it, I think, extra fun. So join with me. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. I've never done that. I've been there and passed out just trying to help out with the... You ladies are tough. Just say that. Okay. Cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Verse 3. Another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so then she gave birth he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life, even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. Every part of it. We're thankful for the book of Revelation that paints this beautiful picture, that lays out the reality of the war, that lays out the certain victory for the church. Father, I ask that you be with me tonight as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly. And Father, I ask that each one of us would really consider the serious nature of this war. That we would be sober-minded. That if any of us are under the temptation to take some time off, to just be a little bit casual, that this would remind us of the serious nature of this and the necessity for us to not play games, but Father, to be honest with you and to commit ourselves fully to the cause of Christ. I ask this through Jesus' name. Amen. So some main characters, obviously, in this book, and I'm not going to go and prove all of this tonight. The woman, I do want you to notice that the woman on her head is a crown of 12 stars. Does the number 12 ring a bell for anybody from the Old Testament? 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? There's so much, guys, we could preach on this. I'm not going to establish the 1,200 and is it 40 or 60 days? My math brain is not fully engaged. 1,260 days, the time, times, and half time. I don't have time to go into all of that. But I want to say this. The events of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, everything changed from physical to spiritual. Everything, including time. You can go back and you can read Daniel chapter 9 and you can find what happened in the last half of that last week? This is it. Anyways, not getting into that tonight. But everything changes. Initially, the woman is Israel. Jesus came from Israel. That was his physical lineage. But with the events of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, there's a shift. Kirk did a beautiful job this morning, excellent job this morning, of laying out what true Israel is. What is Israel now? Can you think of any number 12 that might have some relevance to the church? 12 apostles? Okay. So what was Israel? You're going to see a shift in this picture. The woman becomes the church. Okay. So that's one of the main characters here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. You can think about Ephesians chapter 5. Later in the book of Revelation, the church is pictured as the bride. But Kirk did read this morning, but that was a long time ago. So let's look at it. Galatians chapter 4. Just one verse. Galatians 4:26, the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. Okay? So the woman, the mother here is the church. The male child, obviously, is Jesus. He's the one that's been prophesied is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Psalm 2, later in Revelation 19, we get that picture. The dragon, pretty straightforward, defines for us what this dragon is. The serpent of old, the devil. Diabolos, the slanderer, the false accuser. Side note, one of the most devilish things you can do is slander, accuse the brethren. Satan, adversary, deceives the whole world. And then you have the devil's angels, also as a part of this. John O'Dell somewhere had a question for me, and we ended up doing some research. Unclean spirits, demons, those are synonymous in the scriptures. Doesn't take too much study to see that. And what does the book of Hebrews tell us about angels? They're ministering spirits, right? So demons, unclean spirits, these devil's angels, that's what they are. Okay, that's one of the pictures here. And then the woman's offspring, who would that be? He tells us pretty clearly, the very last verse. That's individual Christians, those who keep the commandments of God. So that's the picture. Now let's talk about the war, because that's really what this message is about from Revelation chapter 12. I'll give you a little window into my parenting. Okay, not telling anybody else to do it this way. Okay, I never really was a big fan of fantasy type books, movies, that kind of stuff. My kids did watch Narnia multiple times, I might add. But strangely enough, I allowed my kids to watch very brutally gory, real stuff, okay? Within limits, okay? Not much. But I let them watch The End of the Spear. Okay? I let them watch Gods and Generals. Here's why. I'm just going to tell you why. And side note, Matthew did tell me recently when I mentioned this. He said, I had nightmares, Dad, of you being killed with a spear. So if you haven't watched End of the Spear, missionary story. But here's the reason why. 10-year-old kid, his dad is a missionary, not a true Christian even, but his dad's a missionary. He gets killed. That's real. Gods and Generals, that's about the war between the states. People die in war. That is real. And what I wanted my kids to understand, all the fantasy stuff, whatever, that doesn't matter. There is reality. And war is a part of reality. You might not want your kids to have nightmares. Maybe let them be a little older. But it's real. And this war, the scripture is yelling at us, wake up, we are at war. I'm going to take it down a notch for a second. I should tell you where I get this from. You got to understand, on Thanksgivings, my dad would have us watch Harvest of Despair, which was a systematic starvation of the Ukrainian people under communist regime, so that we would be really thankful for Thanksgiving and the freedom we have. Okay, I come by it honestly, okay? But that's real, okay? I'm going to take it down a notch, but I want us to get a picture of the serious nature of this war. So I want everybody to start, pick a partner. Actually, I need Caden Rigers and John Shanahan. If you guys can make your way up here for a second. While you guys are on your way up, I want everybody else to grab a partner and just quickly play a game of rock, paper, scissors. Only one time. You get one round. It's rock, paper, scissors, shoot, right? So grab your partner, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. You guys aren't doing that. Hey, that's did everybody get one time? You're only supposed to do it once, okay? Only supposed to do it once. Caleb, you won. Does that mean Chloe lost? Okay, what I want everybody to remember here for a second is if you lost. Okay? I generally remember when I win and I forget when I lost. Tonight I just want you to remember if you lost. Okay? Now, take it up just one notch. I want you two guys to do this sort of deal. Okay? So you know the rules. I'm not doing it. You two are. That was easy. Oh, he lost? Oh, I couldn't see. I couldn't see. So he lost because he cheated. Good. Okay. Caden lost because he didn't know the rules. That's a good thing to remember, too. All right. Okay, that's a little separate. What if we had John and Caden? I've seen these guys arm wrestle, and that turns into quite the... I didn't figure getting the arm wrestling thing up here was worth it. But what if those guys, what if we took it up a notch and we threw them in a cage, MMA, and they're going to fight to submission? That's a little step up, right? Any of you guys done MMA? I know Nathan Zesch has somewhere, right? A few of you have? Okay. I've seen like one and it's like, I like real, but I got to know what the purpose is. So, then what if we go beyond that and now it's a sword fight to the death? How many of you lost rock, paper, scissors? I didn't play, so I lost. You don't play, you lose. If you lost, raise your hand. You're dead. You lost, you're dead. This, in this spiritual war, guys, it is real war. And there are, we're pretty far removed in the U.S. right now from war. But let's go back to what's called the Civil War, war between the states. Within this country, let's just round it, say 700,000 military deaths. World War, and that was, 1800s. Let's go to World War II. 15 million around the world, 15 million military deaths and 38 million civilian deaths. If you're living in the time of the war between the states, your kids, your men, your boys are going off to war. And at some point, notification comes back that they died in a battle. That's real. And the purpose, what God wants us to get from that, is the physical gives us just a glimpse of the spiritual war. Every single human being is engaged in this spiritual war. Every male, every female, and actually every child is being trained to be on one side or the other. There is no draft dodging in this war. There is no neutrality. There's no saying, I'd like to opt out. You didn't ask to be born, but when you were born, you showed up here and you are in the middle of this. And your eternal soul is on the line. Revelation 12 wants us to get the serious nature of this war. I don't think you have to Bible study with people in our current culture to see the absolute mass destruction of Satan and what he's done to the souls of people everywhere. Just for a second, close your eyes and think of your neighbors, those on your right, those on your left. What kind of family do they have? And this is just surface. Okay? Our neighborhood, we got new neighbors, dogs bark and everything. Sometimes I hear people yelling at each other. That's just surface. It is destruction everywhere. You get in with people, you start talking to them, and people are absolutely, from the inside out, ripped apart by sin. The destruction that Satan has wreaked on every human being. So you look around and you say, why? Why is this? Nolan mentioned the first 11 chapters of the book of Revelation show the church versus the world. The second half of this book in Revelation 12 gives us this picture. It's because first, there's war in heaven. That war is over worship. We understand that. Satan wanted something that wasn't his. But Satan ends up waging war against Christ and his church. We see the picture here. Christ ascends. I'll come back to that a little bit later. And then from that point forward, everything that Satan does, guys, is to take out the church. Sometimes I I forget this a little bit. Yes, Satan is the ruler of this world. Like Mike said, there, Satan is bound. But everything that Satan is doing, when he is on that leash, he is strategizing, trying to figure out how to get, how to take the church out, how to get you to walk into his realm. The whole purpose of everything that Satan does is, Revelation 12 tells us, it's to take out the church of Jesus Christ. Little fantasy, J.R.R. Tolkien. Anybody remember what that guy is famous for? Lord of the Rings, okay? He did have a really great quote. I don't know how I got talked into reading every one of those books in my life. But anyways, he had a really great quote. He said, "It does not do to leave a live dragon out of your calculations if you live near him." Book of Revelation tells us there is a live dragon. And you live near him and you need to put him into your calculations. He is a supernatural evil. The scripture paints a picture for us here. He has great wrath, knowing that he has a short time. He is a cornered beast. And he is unleashing all of his fury against the church. I think Davis is going to get to preach on this some. But the beast from the sea, the beast from the earth, Babylon the harlot, the men having the mark of the beast, Satan is taking all of these powers and using them to try to take down the church. I don't want to trample on yours, bro. So, yours is Monday morning. Nobody's going to remember this by then. So, world powers. Is it ever, if you remove yourself from being sealed, like Nolan talked about, if you take yourself out of it, if you're a non-Christian, let's just say this, if you're a non-Christian living in the United States of America right now, are you terrified? I would be. I have absolutely no idea where this country is going to go. I mean, I know it's going down. And, I mean, take your pick. One might slow down the process a little more than the other. I just got back from the Philippines and I found this interesting. Anybody remember COVID? How many of you, there's some rabble-rousers in here, so how many of you refused to wear a mask going into a grocery store? And that's this. Of course you did. You were the first one I saw. I have lots of friends that I know. You refused to wear a mask going into a grocery store. That's everybody's choice and figure out how they want to do that with Christ. But it's interesting to me. Within the Philippines, you couldn't buy groceries without showing your vaccination card. You can't come into this. You don't have to just put a mask on. You can't go into the grocery store without a vaccination card. This is the kind of power that's exerted around the world. Hey, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying COVID is the mark of the beast, okay? Your COVID vaccination. But I'm saying it's a case study in what this looks like, the powers of the world, and why people are terrified and end up falling to them. What about the beast from the earth, the false prophet? Every single Bible study I have, it doesn't matter. I don't know which ones are my favorites to start. I think agnostic atheists are my favorites. But there you're just unwinding humanistic philosophy that's been fully ingrained, right? I like that better than all the false Christianity that's been ingrained, personally. See, there is war. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's war. So we understand big picture, this attack on the church. If you study your history, where's the church been in the history, the real church of Jesus Christ been in the history books? Basically been pushed underground through most of the centuries. Think about Jewish persecution of the early church. And we see a picture of that in the New Testament, even the book of Acts. A little bit later, in the first century, Roman persecution. Coming out of that, you see the Roman Catholic Empire. How was the Roman Catholic Empire for true Christians? Brutal. the Dark Ages. Even don't misunderstand these next two guys' names. I'm going to say Martin Luther, not a true Christian. But I actually have a lot of respect for what the guy did to go and post the 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg Chapel and then spend the rest of his life basically hiding out and trying to stay alive. The Catholic Church wants to kill that guy. William Tyndale, one of my favorites, going to make sure that he wants to get the Bible translated into the English of the common man. Statement that he made is, I defy the Pope and his laws. If God spares my life, in a few years a plowboy shall know more of the scriptures than you do, he said to a bishop. I like that. I like that guy. Well, you know what they did with William Tyndale? They strangled him and burned him at the stake. Strangled him first and then burned his body. His last words were, Lord, open the eyes of the king that he may see. This is real. Satan pulls out all of his power to try to take out the church. Now, the scripture tells us the earth helps the woman. I'm thankful for that. One example, United States of America. Hey, we've been very blessed. A place where there's religious freedom. The earth helped the woman. We're all recipients individually of the religious freedom for the. Every one of us either has it here or on our phone. It's amazing. You go around the world, people got Bible in their own language. It's an amazing thing because of the religious freedom that we had in the United States of America. And so you guys, I'm not going into the restoration movement tonight. Many of us are familiar with that. Out of the freedom that came to the United States of America, you have the restoration movement take hold. The restoration of the ancient name, ancient book, ancient order, ancient gospel. We're blessed. Whatever the Bible says, we can see and we're going to go with that. And so the church of Jesus Christ, actually the true church, we see it above ground. We see it taking root. We see it growing. And there is momentum in the United States of America with the Lord's church. And then the war between the states comes. I don't think war between the states wasn't about slavery. Just from a political side, it's about states' rights. Okay? Slavery was a factor in that, but it was about states' rights. But it wasn't about slavery. It wasn't about states' rights. It was to stop the momentum of the Lord's church. Everything that Satan does is against the church. So, I want you to think about this. If Satan pulls out all of his stops for the church, what do you think he's willing to do to come after you personally? Follow through on this with me. In this chapter, we see the woman. The earth helps the woman. I've read the back of the book. I don't get to preach on it. But I've read the back of the book and the church wins. So what does Satan do? The last verse of Revelation 12, read this with me. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. I'm going to talk about victory in a little bit. But Satan realizes he lost against Jesus. Satan realizes he can't take out the church. Hear me out on this. The church is the eternal kingdom. The church is victorious. The church, and I'm talking big picture, wins. So where Satan can't do any, he tries against the church. But what? Where's the one spot Satan can go that he has a shot? You and me. Kevin Simpson, my buddy, likes to say when a person gets immersed into Christ, you get a new name when you're immersed into Christ, right? So I say, like, my name was Luke Wilson, now it's Luke Godson, right? God changes my name. I'm one of his. But Kevin likes to say, the devil also gives you a name. What's it?
Target.
Target. Although the store could be part of it. Anyways, I'm not going there. The target on your back. Satan's coming after you personally. And he is willing to pick on your susceptibilities. You know, Phil preached an awesome message today. Jesus Christ, our Lord, he sees everything, doesn't he? His eyes are a flame of fire. They pierce into the very heart. He's the one who knows our hearts and our minds. The devil does not know your heart, and the devil does not know your mind. He can't do that. But the devil does notice some things about you. He does some little recon missions. He studies your past, and he's willing to put different traps out there and see which ones you are a little susceptible to, and to turn his attention to you personally. God notices. I'm thankful God notices the good. Do you know the devil notices the good you do? Anybody read Job recently? This is before Satan was cast out of heaven. I want to clarify that. But Satan is among the angels who come and present themselves before God. And God asks the question, "Hey, Satan, have you noticed my servant Job?" And what did Satan say? "No, who is he? Could you tell me about him?" Satan notices Job. And he says, "Well, the only reason is because..." But Satan notices Job. He notices the good things he's done. And what does Satan try to do? Go after Job's faith. To break him down. What about Peter? Go with me to Luke. I think it's chapter 22. I can't read my own writing. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Jesus tells Peter, he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Satan noticed Peter, didn't he? He wants to come after him. Anybody ever... We'll do feel for a second. Okay, we're in Revelation. Don't take this. Anybody ever felt like Satan's trying to sift you like wheat? Anybody ever felt the target? Anybody ever felt the breath of the dragon on you personally? Because that's where he's going. That's where he wants to come after you and me. He knows our susceptibilities and he wants to break us down. You know, the devil will find those and he'll make it easy for you. You know, I'm not a drinker, never have been. But it's shocking to me, anywhere I go, how easy it would be. Hard lemonade. I'm trying to switch over to the sparkling water stuff, you know, stuff that doesn't have any taste but got a little zing still. It's an adjustment period. But I wonder what that heart, Satan doesn't need help tempting anybody. Okay, so I'll just leave it. What I'm saying, he makes it easy for you. Marijuana is... I mean, hey, it's just modern-day version of ibuprofen, right? We could go down the list. Satan targets you. He comes after you. What is it that you are willing to fall for? You know, Mr. Sutton said today that social media is a... If there's something good about it, he said, you can figure out where people are at. I used to be on social media, a little bit of it, and there were some things I liked about it, made some posts every day. But, guys, I had a hard time keeping my attitude up sometimes. There were times I'd type something out even. Don't send. Don't send. Don't do it, Luke. Don't. I want to so bad. You know, gossip is one of those things that the Scripture actually talks about that it's like dainty morsels that go down. And one of the things the Lord hates is those who spread strife among their brethren. And Satan will find yours. Immorality, if that's in your heart, how easy is it now on a phone? Just a few clicks away and you can be in any fantasy world you want to be. Satan wants to come after you. He wants to come after me. And in the moment, you might think, hey, this is no big deal. You know, if I just have a little something to unwind tonight. Well, doesn't the scripture say cast your anxiety upon him? Because he cares for you. Hey, let's just back up for a second. Is the battle tough? Do you ever want a little break? That's what Satan wants to offer you. Here's a little break. Just go and pursue that lust of the flesh. You're not going to hurt anything. That's the way he operates. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I want you to follow through with me. He says, good and evil both increase at compound interest. That's why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which a few months later you may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. I like that. A little win today sets you up for the high ground for the future. You might not realize that, but it's putting you in a position. But the other side of this, an apparently trivial indulgence in lust or anger today is the loss of a ridge or railway line or bridgehead from which the enemy may launch an attack otherwise impossible. You know, there's some times in my life that I have lost and I've hated losing. But the biggest thing that I hate about losing is that it's not just personal. It impacts the church. There is something, the way the devil can negatively impact the church is by getting you or me to lose. It impacts other people around you. And that's where Satan puts his focus. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There's one verse in here in particular I want to look at. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Sometimes in the Christian walk, in the Christian war, the intensity of the battle, it's like, I could really use a little time out. Which, by the way, guys, God tells you this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. God provides. God provides through his church. God provides through his word. God provides the Lord's Supper. Anyways, God gives a provision. But the flesh wants a different kind. And that evil day will sneak up on you. Hey, I'm doing good. 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 And you lost focus. You quit preparing. Jesus says, be aware. You let your awareness falter a little. And that evil day will come up and smack you. And so the scripture's saying, be serious about this. If you're in the coast mode, if you're in casual right now, if your mind is set on the flesh, today is the day to make a decision that you are going to get this on track. Otherwise, Satan will take you down and he can use you to take down the church. Now, here's the beautiful thing. What Satan does to take us out, God uses to strengthen us for victory. God has something perfectly designed for every one of us, but some of those obstacles are ones that the devil throws out there. It's almost like, some of you guys done a Spartan race recently? I think Braden, I know you did. Who here has done Spartan race? Okay, Mike, Amy, you guys have? Becca? So, there's, in that training for the Spartan race, I assume you guys got to figure out some of the obstacles and that kind of. In this, the devil actually He puts those obstacles out there. But God uses those to strengthen us, to get us to rely on Him and turn to Him for victory. I want to close here working on the victory part of Revelation chapter 12. Go back with me. The war is real. And if there's one thing I want you to consider, is that if you try to do this on your own, you are no match for the supernatural evil of Satan. If Nolan said we've been sealed with the Spirit, and that's true. But if you grieve the Spirit, if you end up trying to, well, let's just say this. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh rather than the things of the Spirit, you will lose. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 10 for now. There was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. They were not strong enough. There was no longer a place found for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night. Go back real quick. When Jesus was being born, anybody remember when Jesus was being born? What was Herod's plan? Kill him. If Jesus dies as an infant, does the dragon have some victory? What about Jesus before Pontius Pilate? Well, this is where it gets a little tricky. Satan thinks he's winning. I'll put enmity between you, your seed, between you and the woman's seed, right? So there was a prophecy way back there, Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent would get the woman's seed on the heel. And what was the woman's seed going to do to the serpent? Crush him in the head. So here is, you got Jesus before Pilate. Jesus goes to the cross. Satan thinks he wins. There's on the heel. And then Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the crushing Satan in the head. At that point in time, Satan is kicked out of heaven. I don't have time to go into all that. Jesus wins. That part has already happened. Jesus has won. Amen. He's outside of the realm of Satan. The church, like I said, we've read the back of the book. The church wins. It's interesting. The church is called the bride. The church is also called Heavenly Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. There's another woman. She's called Babylon the harlot. And Babylon goes down forever. The church lives forever. We've read the back of the book. Somebody's preaching on that. But what about you personally? That's the only question. Jesus has won. The church wins. The question is, what about you? I'll point my finger at me. You point your finger at you. Am I going to win? Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life to death. Lots of ways we could go through this. I just like this verse. Three things. Blood of the Lamb. Matt Hartford did an awesome message. The blood of the Lamb cleanses our conscience. The downward spiral of guilt and shame, sin and death. Romans chapter 7. There is a law of sin and death, isn't there? There is guilt and shame. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from that. No more the loser of Romans 7. There is the victor. The more than conqueror of Romans chapter 8. He says here, the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. What's Romans 8:1 say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What's the end of Romans 8 say? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The devil can't bring accusation against you anymore. He'd been kicked out of the courtroom forever. So don't bring accusation against yourself. The blood of the Lamb. Understand who you are in Christ. The word of their testimony. This is not personal testimony. I don't have time to go, but you read the rest of the book of Revelation. Revelation 12, 17, 24. Nolan actually read one. When he's talking about the word of their testimony, he's talking about the testimony of Jesus and the word of God. That's what we are holding to. Brethren, I challenge you, I encourage you, you stay true to the word no matter what. Don't ever compromise on what this says. Scripture warns a lot about false teachers. You know where false teachers come from? Justification of sin. You start wanting to justify sin in your mind and you will try to twist this. Do not twist this. You stand true to what this says and God will pull you through to victory. Don't ever back down from that. Sometime this spring, Talia and I went to Yellowstone Park and we had some binocs and we saw this grizzly bear. And this grizzly bear was stealing his little coyote cubs. Why was he getting the cubs? Because they're easy pickings. If God has set this up where we'll just say the camp of the saints has been surrounded. And for our illustration, we'll say, here's the camp. There are no bombs that can be dropped on us. But you wander outside there, you're easy picking. You hold true to the word of the testimony. You hang in there. You stick in with the church of Jesus Christ. You stay committed and God will pull you through. Oh, and they did not love their lives even when faced with death. That's pretty easy to say. Lord, I'll die for you with you. The rest of those guys I worry about. But not me. Peter said it, right? Actually, they all said it. And they all bailed that night. Now, that was prior to the resurrection. How do you see Jesus? Do you see him as he is? Do you understand the power of the resurrection takes away the fear of death? You know, I'm just don't feel that bad about having my kids watch somebody be put to death at the end of the spear for taking a stand for Christ, because that's life. We win because we do not love our lives even unto death. The resurrection, the hope of the resurrection pulls us through. We know the dragon, he's come after Jesus, Jesus won. He come after the church wins. He come after you. And brethren, you win if you commit. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He's defeated him in heaven. I want to close Revelation 12, verse 12. My friend Mike Dubb he has a question that he really likes. He says, where are you living? Where are you living? Revelation 12, verse 12. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. What does it say? Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Where are you living? That's going to determine whether or not you win or lose. If you're living in heaven, if you see Jesus as he is, the ascended Christ, that victory he will give to you. I want to encourage us. See Christ on the throne, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The one who was dead and is alive forevermore. The one who holds the keys of death and of Hades. Brethren, with the help of the ultimate conqueror, go fight, win. Thank you.